Joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon is Dr. Ramesh Kolru. He is director of the Center for Business and Information Technologies here at UL Lafayette, or CBIT, as well as the site director for the NSF Center for Visual and Decision Informatics. And you, along with some other UL Lafayette officials, joined with LCG, the LUS Fiber, and FiberCore just recently to announce a new initiative in Lafayette, the Living Lab for Health Innovation. And I know you're very excited about it. Lafayette is one of 25 cities across the country to become involved with the U.S. Ignite bandwidth wagon, I guess. So,
absolutely.
I guess, first of all, before we start talking specifically about the initiative that is here in Lafayette, that UL is partnering with various organizations in town to help facilitate, let's talk about that Ignite program. What is that all about?
Absolutely. First of all, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be back here. It's always fun, and you make it extremely entertaining. And so thank you for having me. The US Ignite is a national initiative. It is an initiative that is focused on the next generation internet-based technologies. And the idea is today's internet is fun. It is something that you and I use every day. And especially I and my kids can't live without it. I'm sure that's the case with everyone. But the idea of US Ignite is to build the next generation internet, is to have, from a viewpoint of a communication, as a simple example, it is to have between me and my doctor, let's say I'm sick, I'm home, and I need to consult with my doctor, I'm sick enough that I can't get out of my bed. And then I call up my doctor, and there is a personal point-to-point connection between him and I that I don't have to worry about someone snooping, someone having access to my secure data, my health data. And so on this broad internet, I and my doctor have our own personal internet, have a slice of that heaven just for him and I to share and exchange this information, and for him to consult with me. And if he needed me to show him something, show him my extremities, for example, if I am, for example, diabetic, then we can get on to a video conversation. And so suddenly when he's looking at my personal health record, we don't need a lot of bandwidth. But now that he has to look at my video, because he has to look at my foot, or he has to look at, and he and I have to jointly look at an X-ray or whatever, then we need a broader bandwidth. So suddenly now, in the middle of a conversation between him and I, we are now commanding the internet to give us a little bit more of the piece of the pie. And so as such, the software that you build for this next generation internet needs to be something that allows us to ask for a specific session, a secure session between you and me, and a session that can expand or contract the amount of bandwidth that you need. So today, when you and I dial up our internet and we access a movie on Netflix, for example, I know we all suffer through sometimes the movie hangs and we wait, and we don't want to wait, obviously. So,
well, and especially if you're in consult with a doctor, you don't have to wait and buffer something before.
Absolutely.
You get the
information. So as fast as internet that we have typically in communities across the nation, it is for the next generation of applications. I'm trivializing by talking about a movie on Netflix. But in the middle of a medical consult, and worse still, in the middle of a telesurgery, where the doctor, the specialist, may be halfway across the globe in the Netherlands, and we have to bring him into a surgery room here in Lafayette, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Certainly in that regard, we don't want internet to hang and the bandwidth to be an issue. And so, long story short, that's what US Ignite is about. US Ignite is about how do you develop the next generation internet-based applications where you get to tell the internet, look, I don't want you to mess me up. I don't want you to choke it. And for the next 15 minutes, where I'm consulting with this patient, I want this to be the bandwidth. And so the software is telling the hardware and the underlying guts of the internet to behave in a certain way, and so it's all about software defined networking.
It has to have the capacity and the agility to do the tasks you're asking it for. So you mentioned health consulting with a doctor, but there are many areas that Ignite is concerned with. What are some of the other areas?
So this initiative, US Ignite, is something that is very broad. It is an initiative of the White House's. So it resides within the Office of Science and Technology Policy and the National Science Foundation. And they had their launch, in fact, on the 14th or 15th of June. And I was invited to speak at this White House event to primarily speak to what it is that we were doing in Lafayette. So obviously, they were excited about what we were doing in healthcare, which was the reason why we were chosen and we were invited to attend. And I had the honor of going there accompanied by Mayor Joey Durell, Terry Hewal from LUS, and Jeff Daly from FiberCore. So it was extraordinary for us four to be there and invited. And I had the opportunity to speak and talk about what it is that we were doing in Lafayette, in our version of Living Lab. But nationally, the US Ignite has broader mandate across many areas that are of national significance. So as envisioned, US Ignite has a focus in the area of healthcare, in advanced manufacturing, in workforce development, in public safety, things like disaster management and homeland security and applications such as those. Transportation, I think, is the fifth, and I'm getting old. I forgot the sixth.
Public safety,
I mentioned
emergency
that.
Preparedness, you mentioned that. Yes. Clean energy.
So those are the six strategic areas. And the beauty of it is we, as a university, are involved in all of these areas. Though at this point in time, we talk about the Living Lab and the focus on health innovation. As a research university, we are fantastically positioned to play a major role in at least four or five of the six national priority areas. And that message is not lost on the White House. It wasn't by accident that we ended up getting invited.
And being chosen, again, one of 25 cities in the United States to be one of these labs.
Yeah, and that happened primarily because of LUS Fiber. I mean, to give credit where extraordinary credit is due, we were one of the earliest adopters of fiber. And thanks to Mayor Joey Durell and Terry Hewal, that led this initiative in our community. As tough and as hard as it was to get that initiative in place, that investment that this community has made into fiber has been and is now paying extraordinary dividends that enables us to take the lead. And Lafayette, Louisiana was now there are many more that are joining on the bandwagon, and now as such the numbers look very healthy. I mean, there's 25 communities across the nation. The US Ignite initiative wants to have 60 applications by the end of the next couple of years or so. That's the goal. But the reality is, when we began our journey here in Lafayette many years ago, as with the implementation of LUS Fiber, we were one of the nation's earliest adopters of broadband implementation, and certainly the largest implementation of its kind with a municipally driven initiative. Right. So we are extraordinarily fortunate in this community to have leaders who look beyond and looked far ahead and made those investments. And this community has always been at the leading edge of innovation and entrepreneurship, and this is a testament to that.
Right, and as you mentioned earlier, the university as well, for having centers such as yours and research scientists who are knowledgeable about these subjects and working in these fields.
I think that's
a
great point. I mean, and that investment is not just with centers like mine. I mean, the reality is when you go back a few decades into the history of this university, into the investments that we made into computing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are today benefiting from all of those wise investments that we made when we realized we can't be good in every area. Mm-hmm. And as a university of two decades ago, we made an investment into technology and into computing.
I seem to remember talking with Dr. Landry about that, and that we had at one point one of the two largest computing systems in the country.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It was incredible vision at that time.
The first student ACM chapter, the first degrees in master's, and one of the nation's earliest PhDs in computer science.
So great vision that is obviously continuing today.
Absolutely. So we get to build on the foundations of what our leaders and what our pioneers did, and shame on us if we don't do it. And we're just so fortunate and pleased that we are moving the moving the needle and carrying the ball forward.
Well, let me tell people who may be just tuning in to their computers or radios right now, my guest, Dr. Ramesh Kolaru, is here at UL Lafayette. He is the center of CBIT, the center director of the Center for Business and Information Technologies, as well as the site director for the NSF Center for Visual and Decision Informatics. So we were chosen for so many of these reasons that we're talking about, lots of vision and infrastructure that's been put in place in Lafayette, and in particular, this living lab for health innovation, in large part because of the innovation in health that we have here and the infrastructure. What is that? What is the living lab? I'm sure the image some people have is really not what it's all about. So describe that.
I mean, that's a great question. And living lab is a concept that's reasonably popular in Europe. Is a conversation, is something that grew out of many conversations that I've had with Jeff Daly, who is the executive director of FiberCore. Who, when LUS fiber was implemented, he moved on from Washington, D.C. and came into this community and has been stirring a lot of trouble here in this community in a good way. And so he and I, we've been talking about this concept of living lab and what it is that we can do with proving concepts. I mean, something that has not been proven that needs to be proven. That's the idea of a lab. And I was on this program previously when we talked about the Cajun Court Fest, where it was a two-day celebration of releasing data and asking kids and programmers to go hack that data and produce some innovative, cool software and solutions to challenges in childhood obesity and healthcare more broadly. And when we had leaders from across the nation, including the Chief Technology Officer of the United States and some luminaries in the area of health information technology from Microsoft, Northrop Grumman, AT&T, the founder of Priceline.com, and several others that came into town, they were amazed. They were amazed at the quality of innovation that we had going on at the university. Very broadly, not just my center, CBIT NIMS, the PCART Center, the School of Computing and Informatics, the College of Nursing, and all of these phenomenal assets that we have at the university. But also, they were amazed at the kind of healthcare leaders and innovators that we have in the community with our community hospital, Lafayette General Medical Center, with the Schumacher Group, with Acadian Ambulance, and many of the other national scale, in fact, in some cases, global scale health innovators who we are fortunate to have headquartered and operate out of Lafayette, Louisiana. But in equal part, they saw that the mayor of the town was there, along with the Chamber of Commerce leaders and LEADA, the Lafayette Economic Development Authority, and they just said, this doesn't happen anywhere.
This is a perfect lab
everywhere. So it's a perfect storm. It was a confluence of everyone who needed to be at the table to do something meaningful. Mm-hmm. And they saw a research university saying, we are committed to research for a reason. We are just not interested in pure pursuit of knowledge, which is extraordinarily valuable, but we want to apply our knowledge to solve society's grandest challenges. Mm-hmm. That message resonated in a big way. Mm-hmm. And the comment of some of our out-of-town guests was, it's amazing what confluence of forces you have. You're big enough, you're small enough that you can be entrepreneurial and engage everyone at the table. But in reality, the size of your community is big enough that whatever you do here is significant. Mm-hmm. And that lit a spark in our collective imagination as leaders at the university, leaders at the community, leaders in the public sector, private sector, nonprofit sector. So we continued the conversation after the Cajun Court Fest. The leaders left, and after we started stressing and de-stressing, and we said, what do we want to do with all of this energy? I mean, this was like a huge mirror someone put in front of us, where they said, look at yourself, you guys are awesome, you guys rock. And so we said, that's fantastic. So what do we want to do with all of this energy? Do we want to do something just incremental, just the next step, the next two steps? Or do we want to do something really transformative, really such a big, hairy, audacious goal that people would sit up and take notice? And for a state that ranks 49th on every good healthcare indicator, nationally, whether it is obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular, or whatever have you, we rank at the very bottom of the good lists. Not at the very bottom. Our official motto is Thank God for Mississippi. So we rank 49th on every good list, with Mississippi being at 50. So we said, what a fantastic transformational, revolutionary opportunity it would be if we said, we know we are at the bottom of the list, but we're going to innovate our way out of trouble. We are going to innovate our way from the bottom of that list, and we're going to move up. But not only do we want to do it for ourselves, we want to do it for the rest of the world. And not only do we want to do it on our own, we'll do it with the rest of the world. So we said, okay, we want to become the place where the best new ideas in healthcare will be proven, will be built. In some cases, we'll do it on our own. But we know 80%, 90% of the smartest people don't live here, don't work here. We are very smart. We are extraordinarily proud. And that's what that mirror was all about. They helped us realize, not that we didn't know already, but it was being noted. And like I said a moment ago, when the National Science Foundation tells you that you are the nation's only center of excellence in the area of visual and digital informatics, and the first ever center of excellence in the history of the state of Louisiana, this tells us something about us, a little something about ourselves. This tells us about our innovation capacity, our own entrepreneurial nature, and our own accomplishment, which we often are very shy to admit that we are indeed good.
Well, what you're telling us is fabulous, and I know people are going to want to know a little bit more about it. I know you're in the process of getting the website up for the Living Lab for Health Innovation. Any sense of when that will be up? Or?
Oh, yeah, just as soon as I stop.
As soon as you stop, you're going back and getting... But I think at CBIT, you do have a little bit of information.
The Center for Business Information Technologies website, cbit.louisiana.edu. We should have some information. If not, I'll make sure we post some information pretty soon so that people can know that what the Living Lab is, and more importantly, how they can engage.
So when you say a Living Lab, again, images come up in people's minds, but what we're doing here could possibly, it's an experiment that could possibly be used on a much grander scale.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So our idea is very simple in terms of the Living Lab, and that's the beauty of this idea. So first thing, it has two components. The first is we'll prove ideas that have not been proven elsewhere. So this might be a new piece of technology. For example, in the area of telemedicine or telehealth, this could be a new healthcare policy. This could be a new payment model, whatever have you. So we will prove that idea works here. And typically, these kinds of things have happened at places like, let's say, the Mayo Clinic, which is a synthetic environment in many cases. For every one Mayo Clinic out there, there's hundreds of hospitals like the real world Lafayette General Medical Centers. So the idea of proving a new idea, not in a synthetic environment, but in a real lab, a real community-wide, is very appealing, is very real. And so in one part, a Living Lab is a place where we offer a community to the innovator and say, you all come on in.
Test your idea here.
Mm-hmm. Prove that it works.
We have the infrastructure in place, with vision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have the technology infrastructure with LES Fiber. We have the social infrastructure with FiberCore and all of our hospital systems and the school board and all of these visionary leaders in our community saying, yes, we want to innovate. We want to be the place.
We're a laboratory. Scientists can come in, and it's just an amazing structure that we have here.
And the university. And the second portion of the Living Lab is we are also one of, so in the first context, you would have companies like the Microsofts and Intels and the Northrop Grumman's and various other folks that we are in conversations with that can bring in a piece of technology that they already have in the bag, but that has not been proven community scale. They might have proved it in a clinic. They might have proved it with a doctor, but not in a community of 120,000 people in the city, 220,000 in the parish. So we'll prove it here. And if it works here in Lafayette, Louisiana, then because of our partnership as a university with the Louisiana Department of Health and Hospitals, and also in equal part because of a visionary leader by the name Bruce Greenstein, who is the secretary of the Louisiana Department of Health and Hospitals, and his fantastic team, we're going to bring these ideas to Baton Rouge. We're going to implement them statewide. We're going to see if the technology, if it is a piece of technology, we'll see if it can scale well, if it can support not just one hospital, 10 hospitals, but 250. If it's a business model, we'll see if the business model has scalability. And at the end of the process, if it works here in Lafayette, Louisiana, and if it works in the state of Louisiana, I believe, and my hypothesis simply is, it should work elsewhere.
You can scale it to work elsewhere.
It should work in Mississippi, it should work in Kansas, it should work in Ohio, and it could work in Australia. So,
well, you might want to get that website up, because I can imagine our audience is very interested in what you're saying, and I wish we had a lot more time to talk about it. But my guest, Dr. Ramesh Kolaru, here at UL Lafayette, is director of CBIT, the Center for Business and Information Technologies. He is also the site director for the NSF Center for Visual and Decision Informatics. Talking about the Living Lab for Health, Lafayette, one of 25 cities in the country, being a living lab to test out so many of these interesting hypotheses, health theories, and in having to do with technology. And if you'd like to find out more about it right now, you can go to CBIT, but that website should be up pretty soon, because I have a feeling a lot of people are interested and will have questions as it unfolds here.
Thank you for having me. It was great.
And we look forward to hearing more about it as the Living Lab continues. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
What's happening in the arts and culture in South Louisiana. In New Iberia, the Iberia Performing Arts League continues its run of Mulan Junior, put on by the Summer Youth Musical Program. That will go through the weekend at the S&E Theater in downtown New Iberia. Tickets are available through the theater. And opening tonight at Cité des Arts is The Rehearsal, a 17th century comic satire play by Georges de Villiers, second Duke of Buckingham, directed by Lauren Green White. It is only the second time that it's been produced in the United States. Costumes, period costumes, as well as period music, put on by Alice Wallace. Tickets are available at the door or by calling Cité des Arts or going to their website. It will run through the weekend and then the following weekend as well. The 10th anniversary celebration of the Summer Youth Shakespeare Ensemble presents Shakespeare's Love's Labor's